Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And thank you once again. And this, of course, is Andrew Fetter, When Pigs Fly. I have to turn down this little fan. It's getting a little hot out here in Vegas. And by the way, the opening intro that I had, so I had to have a little taste of some Java here, but was incorporated by the great song of Blind, which, of course, I am thankful for Masonic Temple for allowing me the use of their song to incorporate into my theme song, which, of course, is from their album Follow Me, which you all have heard them in the past with other music in Despair and Devil Suitcase. Do check them out. You can check them out at myspace.com/MASTEM. So, and I also want to elaborate on some new things that have come up. I'm having some future shows all lined up, particularly in June. Of course, in June, next week is June. On June 5th, I'm honored to have Robin Marvel, who is an author and a motivational speaker, as well as a life, what she calls a life positivity coach for both adults and children. And what I like about what she's doing is she's dealing, of course, the awakening of the conscience, of course, to strengthen your well-being and to by encouraging a universal awareness, which we're all talking about lately as the ascension process continues. Of course, she has written one of her latest books, which I have, and to get it over to my granddaughter. It's called Awakening Consciousness, A Girl's Guide, and she's also made one for boys as well, which is, I think, is pretty cool. It's allowing kids to, you know, in a sort of fun way, play way, to experience and understanding some themes and understandings about consciousness and chakras and spirituality on a more universal outlook. And again, that's on my next show on June 5th. And then I have pinned down, and we have a good solid date. I have Susan Tony, who you've heard her last song, Asia, I played. I'm going to play it again on at the bottom of my show, at the end of my show. Her album, of course, is Strange Child. For those who haven't realized who she is, you probably heard more of her songs than I've written than heard her actually sing herself. She's well known within the circle. Please check her site out at susantoney.com. That's Susan, SUSANTONEY.com. She has a very provocative way of her, she has almost like a soul stirring mixture of rock, pop, blues, and some country within her music. It merges with one into another. And of course, like I said, she's going to be on my show, which I feel very honored to have her on my show. She is also, won several awards, including some from the American Songwriting Festivals, as well as the Billboard writing. She was acknowledged as in 1994 as the honors the Artist of the Year Month by the National Association of Songwriters. She's known for her acoustic underground approach to music. She's also received the Artist of the Year by the Music Connection in 1996. And she is a sought-after songwriter in the various circles for her both her co-writing as well as her solo performance, which includes music in various movies, including a Miramax film, Little City, which is Just Don't Mention Love, and Without You, which is in Talk Girl Talk. So that is on June 12th. And then, because it's coming to, what do they call it? I think it's called Solstice or whatever it is. I'm probably saying it wrong. You know, the longest day of the year in the summer. Anyway, on June 19th, I'm having Carrie Fezza once again. If you've heard her in the past, she's an astrologist and intuitive tarot reader. And, of course, I'm going to have her do her analysis for the next several coming months per the cosmos. Now, along with those, I will have other guests that I'm working on as well, of course. My usual speeches, rants, and I'll get into other various aspects. I do encourage those out there who are listening and future listeners or past listeners, do feel free to contact me via email, which would be my email address is flyingpigs@artlover.com. If you got questions, comments, or even ideas or things you have questions about, perhaps shows, and sometimes like in the past and even today, today's theme of the show, I utilize what people have questions about and incorporate them into a show or even make it the show. I did that for somebody who was consistently asking me questions about going out of body, so I presented that, and they want to know within the Kabbalistical way of looking at it. So I did a whole show about that. Now, also, you can contact me as well at if you have a MySpace account, /Andrew Fetter, and if you have a Twitter, please do, you can contact me, or you can follow me, or follow you, or both, or that's FlyingPigs26. That's my name there, on the thing there. And also, I have a couple other announcements. I did relate to them recently. June 13th here in Las Vegas. On June 13th from 1 through 5 p.m., I will be having a book signing event for The Heretic, and that's my recent book. I will be giving away to the first 5 books that are purchased as a promo from my publisher. The prequel to The Heretic, which is, of course, When the Angels Have Risen, which has always been quite controversial. And, of course, that signing event on June 13th through 1 through 5 p.m. here in Las Vegas is at Barnes & Noble's at Crossroads Commons at 8915 West Charleston. So I hope I'll see you there. And I have another event, which I've been asked to do for Father's Day weekend. On June 20th, here in Las Vegas as well, I will be having an event at the Borders in Town Square, and that's located at 6521 South Las Vegas Boulevard. That's on the Strip. That's sort of the south end of, like I said, that's in the Borders, Town Square. I'll be there from 1 to 3 p.m. That's usually a very large event. As you know, if you come to Vegas, that's a huge store as well. So I look definitely forward to that as well. Excuse me for my throat. I still have a little bit, remnants of that phlegm thing that's been going around, or I guess still have. Some friends of mine have been saying, hey, I think you got an allergy or from something. Maybe it's some little mite dust or something. Sorry, I had a quick little sugar of water there. But anyway, I had a pound on one of my past shows, Ben Stewart's movie, which is, he was a very fascinating individual, intriguing as far as filled with multitude of information. I highly recommend check out his movie, Tematica. You can check it out on YouTube. That is broken up in 9 parts, so I highly recommend seeing that, as well as his other movie called Esoteric Agenda. And that gets into, of course, some quantum levels and scientific levels of DNA as well as energy, but it gets into the understanding of how we're all one consciousness, and it's done in a very scientific way, with logic and understanding. So before I get on to my spiel here, which I was going to talk to, I am going to talk about, which is about psychics and all that stuff, and I'll tell you why I'm getting into that. I do have one thing to get off my chest on recent events, and of course that's regarding our President Obama. And for me, Obama is now on the clock for any future support from me. I mean, I worked for his campaign, I voted for him, I worked diligently, and frankly, I think he is so far to now toward the first 100 days was quite good. Next 100 days seems like he's basically, in putting it nicely, fucking up. I mean, from the beginnings of where the demand crap that he's trying to impose upon the Israelis over the Palestinian Israelis over the settlement issue is not the way to do things, to impose your thing. It should be out of compromise. All that will do is intensify each to their corner. You are not going to move 500,000 Israeli Jews from the West Bank, and you will never, in your imagination, divide Jerusalem. There will be no world before that will happen. I'll just tell you straight up. That will never, ever happen. And the ideology of what I have always said that presents itself, which for some reason, and I think it has to do with that New World Order thing again, they want to continue the strife between the Jews and the Arabs there, the Palestinian Israelis, because the easiest convention they've been talking about, but there have been a lot of resistance to doing a compromise in the West Bank and having Jordan and Israel both co-controlling that area. If they did that, it would be definitely peace, but then again, that's not their incentive. The thing that's pissing me off is he said he's going to have a transparency in his government. Obviously, he isn't. He hasn't even put down the disclosure of the UFO's involvement with the United States government and other issues. He's been lackadaisical coming to the truth and the Candorian proof, the truth about free energy. Of course not, God forbid. And of course, he said, oh, I'm not going to have any lobbyists, and yet look at all the lobbyists that are now working in his administration. He said he was going to have universal health care, like the one they have in the Senate, and guess who they have at their meetings? Not one advocate for one-pay system. All they had at their meetings were health insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, the very cancer that has happened within our healthcare system here in the United States. Tell me, what a fucking joke. And then, justice for Bush and Cheney team, whatever happened to that? I can go on. But Mr. President, all I can say to you, Mr. President, were these all words? I mean, you got our support and our vote and our support. But it's time for the pull that you, now it's time that you've been pulling the wool over our eyes. Well, Mr. President, I'm watching and I'm listening, but you better not continue on your hyperbole of just another Bilderberg trilateral and Council of Foreign Affairs stooge process here within our universe, because the universe knows and knows full well, because you can't hide behind your lies and your deceit. You see, Mr. President, we see you better than see you quite well. So all I can say to you, Mr. President, you better keep your word, because my words are not just words. They are the eternal imprint watching and listening to your deeds. So keep your word, Mr. President. Keep your word. Without your word, you are nothing. If you have no integrity, you are zero within the universe. Sorry, I just had to have a say that. It came down to too many things coming down. So, got that off my chest. Now I want to talk about psychics and psychics and all that stuff. And I have to get to you the reason why, also how this enveloped. You know, usually things are meant to be. So I'll get to the point, how I decided want to talk about psychics and psychic ability. Well, as you know, last weekend, for those who didn't hear prior, I had a signing event, and it's over at the, I had a small, you know, I usually do indiscretional kickbacks or kind of signing event over at the, a bookstore called The Psychic Guy, which is basically, you know, sells books, but sells, you know, other various items and also has readers there. And what I like about it is more casual. When I do big bookstores, it's more, you know, a huge volume of people come in. You're limited on the time that you can really speak and talk with them, because usually sometimes there's actually people lined up wanting to talk to you, or it just makes it sort of, you know, with that many volume, it's sort of hard to just sit back and talk. But that's what I like. That's one of the reasons why I go to, I love having signing events, is actually no matter where, is because then you get to meet new people and hear their things and what they think about and stuff like that. It's quite fascinating. Now, what I was having after the end of my event last week, and I'll get to, like I said, is the situation in which, and let me just tell you first, there are definitely good psychics out there. And there's also ones, and I don't like using the word so much psychic, because I'd rather call it reader. But there are very excellent readers, and there's ones that actually give a bad name to the good, the ones that are good. The good ones, good ones. The ones who are diligently trying to give you a honest reading at the best of their ability. There are ones who are just manipulative, and frankly, it's a sad thing, but just people need to be aware of that. So this is how my story went, so you'll know where I'm going, coming from. Last, like I said, last Saturday, I was at the store, and after I finished, talked to several people, and there was one individual we were talking about. He was talking about coming onto my show. I usually have some, every now and then, a couple people want to come on my show, and we talk, and some of them do, and some of them don't. And everything has a reason. And sometimes I meet people, and then we become friends and talk and stuff like that, too, and that's cool, too. So this one gentleman who I was waiting for, he was a reader, and he was doing his own reading for somebody, and I was going to talk to him. In the meantime, I overheard, saw this girl who was sitting out near the counter, and she was talking to, we'll call this guy, Mr. We'll call him Z, okay? And I could tell they were she was talking about doing her own intuition, her own psychic abilities, if you want to call it. And I don't, me personally, I do can give readings, I can perform readings, but I usually, I not for my guys to do that for money. For some reason, every time I do it for money, whatever money I made goes, it's gone. So I listen to my guys for now on. It just happens to me for my life in this time. I'm not supposed to do it for earnings. But I do have done a lot for other people who do readings, other spiritual people, and spiritual people highly involved and whatnot. So I do do that. And, of course, in my natural intuitional things, I do it on a daily basis. Everybody does to some degree and sometimes more. Anyway, she was concerned about her, and I had read right away from her, her confidence had been diminished, and therefore that's what was really, for some reason, affecting her acknowledgement of her real abilities that she can do, that she can read. In fact, I read that she had a high intuitive ability that for some reason she was sequestering it, and had a lot to do with her own self-confidence and her self-esteem issues of that, for some reason, and which I don't want to get into, which I did while we were talking here and there, and I was trying to, by getting to information, finding out with her, which we got into a discussion on dark dreams, and of course Mr. Z was sitting there, and he kept on talking, and I didn't want to cross him since he was a reader for her, and I basically said to him, hey, you know what, I explained I don't like giving spiritual advice or concerns while she's receiving another, it's sort of like not professional. But then he opened the door and says, hey, this is a three conversation here. Go ahead, go for it. Which I just said, okay, fine, you know, past time, I have a few minutes to kill, whatever, you know. So we start talking. And I noticed that he kept on, we started talking about different situations of belief systems of past. And then, of course, he, Mr. Z here, wanted to peg people, use of common using labeling. And he would use a word, he'd start calling us, oh, you guys are Mr. A. Wow, you know, like, ooh, using that cool word, it's giving that, you know, kumbaya kind of name to me. And he started giving this sort of retarded explanation, saying that, oh, this refers to people who are all on their own path. And I was trying to keep my mouth shut and let the doofus continue, because he was just making up crap, you know. Just personally, I could sort of tell, he just wanted to sound more cooler than whatnot. It was all about his own ego, which is sort of funny, which we'll get into what's part of the, what happened. So then we got into the subject, a philosophical subject of the universe. And, of course, I pointed to him, to my understanding that I looked out upon the duality and all things in the universe. And we went back and forth, and she would, you know, like, went on and on. And but then he kept on referring, oh, we're all ah, there is no duality. And I said, okay, then, you know, there's dark light, feminine, masculine, everything you can touch, reaction, action. I mean, there's a consistency within the universe on every point of definition of a duality, even within time sequences. I mean, everything's, you can just say, oh, everything's all, but that's sort of just saying, yeah, there's light. That's like saying, yes, there's light. Okay, but what's light? So and I was trying to present a sort of and he says, oh, you think you know. And I says, no, I don't know. I said, I have an understanding. Which to me, understanding is, like I have said, and I have had past guests, like Ben Stewart and others, say they use the word also understanding, is to receive. We're not like, it's a, like encapsulation. It's like I tasted the fruit, therefore I understand the taste. But I, you know, that's what it is. It's an understanding. I know that what it is. You don't know. You just have sort of a receiving experience of the information. It's sort of like the communication of it. That's really what I was pointing to. So, and it kept on going back and forth. And, of course, when people start continuing on the same thing, you know me, sometimes I get sort of sarcastic. You know, I guess, you know, it's just part of me, my idiosyncrasy. In fact, it's very common amongst Aries that we tend to utilize sarcasm, and there's many, you know, writers and whatnot utilize sarcasm and mockery to make their point. But, you know, me, and sometimes I do when people are acting childlike, you know, and when I say black, they'll say white, and this is what he was doing, red, white, blue, green. It was getting a little immature. So I reverted to some slight sarcasm, making a joke out of his arguments and just let it go. You know, I try to make a pun out of it instead of, okay, this is not really serious. I'm just going to have fun with it. And, of course, this didn't hit till it started heating up. And, unfortunately, he got really upset. I think that's when the things hit the heated in. When I used the word, I talked about victims and volunteers, and it says there are no real victims. In fact, there's no such thing as victims. We're all volunteers. In fact, when we choose, and if you heard of my past shows, we choose our own embodiment in this lifetime, and it's sort of like when we reincarnate, it's almost like the paint by numbers chart. We actually co-create that life that we're about to have, and no matter how hard it is or how, you know, cold it may seem, from a spiritual side, an existential spiritual side, it's laid out, and then it's our reaction within to each event. No matter how traumatic, I'm saying, you know, and it may be very traumatic and worst thing you can think of, but in reality, that is a karmic co-created event. And what I mean by co-created could be karmic, like some reaction to something you've done in the past lifetime, or a learning lesson. But also, the same token, it can be created by your own thing. So ultimately, it was your own creation. When you get down to it, we are creators. So there are really no victims on Valentine's Day, and this hit a basket. Oh, my God. He got all fabricated and all upset. And I'm going to get to the point because I know everyone wants to get to, you know, get to the real niche of everything. So we went on, and apparently by my use of this, it sort of pushed buttons and open up a can of worms, because then he started, and I have now, here's I'm going to get into the reading part. He was trying to read me, and he was trying to utilize his abilities, whatever you want to call it, and trying to start let's have a little psychic war here, whatever you want to call it. Now, when I tell people about bubbling up, I tell people personally, bubble up, putting light around them. I do that, of course, but and mine is actually literally mirrors. So my way of having mirrors is when somebody sends me something, it usually just reflected back. And this is not to discourse anything. So if somebody sends me love, they'll get love back. If they send me hate, they get hate back. If they're trying to read me without me allowing them to read, because the only way they'll read me is if I allow them, I choose to allow them to read, they will only it'll be a reflection of themselves. So it was sort of funny. He was sitting there going, "You're using sarcasm. That means you're just angry." Of course, pegging, of course. And he was basically reading himself. And the more I started saying, "Dude, you're just projecting," he got more angry. "I've been doing this for a lifetime. I know what I'm doing. No, 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 no. I'm not projecting. You're angry." And I said, "I'm not angry. Maybe disappointed, not angry." I started laughing about it. And he got more upset, and the more it kept on, it's the reflection, because he started sending his own anger toward me, and it was like bouncing and booming and off to him. And then I realized, wow, he's doing his, I was able actually to read him pretty significantly. I can see where he was coming from, and he was very manipulative. He was very manipulative with his girl, and then because you see energy lines and stuff when you do readings, which I'm going to get to real quick. I know. But then I realized where he was coming from, and not to diminish him or put him onto a thing, I just let it go, and I just kept on trying to let go. But the more I tried to let go, he kept on trying, and I go, okay, well, you know, it's like somebody hitting themselves with their own hammer, and that was basically it. He got so upset. Eventually, he got upset. So I started just projecting light around myself, and that's when he just literally looked like looked like a little rat. He ran away. And then what was really interesting, while we were having the intense conversation, the girl just couldn't stand being there, and I didn't know if it was over the conversation. She immediately came back and started talking to me. And she first thing she said was she could not deal with his energy, and yet that was the person reading for her. So which... that just sort of, and it just confirmed the dark energy that he was emitting in his manipulating ways and what he does, which hit me on, okay, that's it. Maybe that's what I got to talk about. There's too many MFs out there who are supposedly ripping people off by using things and manipulating people out there and taking their money, while there's some very good intuitives and readers out there who do really good work. So I decided I got to lay down my gauntlet, as they say, and tell what's really the ways of psychic ability and such. So here it goes. Now, there are multiple ways, first of all, of doing readings. And this relates to, by the way, your own idiosyncrasy, your own individuality. But this is only by method only, okay? Because the fundamentals are universally the same. It's like I had said, thoughts are things and things are things, and people creating or manifesting or whatnot, or healing. Had another sip of Java, sorry. But they all have fundamentally, universally the same ultimate things. What they utilize. We use our different methods because we are individually have our own perspectives on the universe, so we relate to things differently, so therefore we use things in a different allocated approach. So you have to understand it's a universal consciousness that when is being utilized, and that's why I've mentioned, of course, in my past shows, it's Because, see, the universe out there has an abundance of information. And the information, even upon a person, when somebody you do something or say something or feel something, there is like an energy out there that's almost like a tagline. It shoots across the universe. And when I say that it shoots across, it is an imprint. It is there. It stays there. So it's out there to read. Now, there are these things, when you're on your around your own vortex of your own consciousness, your own soul, it is like pushed into almost like like a ball. So it's a lot easier than feeding out, because when you're out there looking for the energy lines that happen to deal with that one person, you have to find out who person those relate to, and those are called tagging it, which you can do. I've done it, but takes more energy to do that. It's a lot easier when it's like if the book's in front of you, why do you go out to a library if you're in another part of the world to look for the same information? But if the person has it covered, it's a lot harder, or if it's more construed, then it might be harder. But it's there. And there are energy lines all around you. And, of course, that's the direct approach on doing readings. And that's where people refer to what people read by when they say things or hear things or see things. And that's what the correct term, I believe, would be using the word clairvoyance or clairaudience. Clairvoyant, of course, is reading something of a person when you're near them, or a visionary of it about to happen. Clairaudient, which I particularly identify, because when somebody speaks, actually, that's, for me, it's easier because there's a vibrational thing that happens when that happens, and for some reason I can read really rapidly when somebody's talking. Like Isaac, totally zero in, like really very quickly, which may relate to, and I see when somebody I had on my pad, like Ben Stewart had on Bass Show, was talking about sound and the reverberation, how important that is. I can relate because I actually relate to sound when people talk or sing or whatever. So that's how I read. So that's clairvoyancy. Now, the other way, if sometimes you cannot directly, like if I'm doing a reading for somebody, I will, if I can't get the information or it's too convoluted for some reason, and it happens if I feel I may be too close to the person or the situation where I might not be objective to it, I will pull back and actually ask my guides for that information. And which is the outside source, which your guides will allow you to pull in, and everybody has their own guides for that, and they're there. Of course, now reading lines and stuff, because the universe and reality is both a duality of past, present, and future. Present means that at the very minuscule second of the very situation, the duality being both the past and the future. In reality, you can go further. And then there's the duality. Here we're going to use the word duality 400 times again. Yeah, it doesn't exist, by the way, according to some. Duality of changes of timelines. Like if somebody tells you some information, you can literally change the course of that thing to happen by your own choices. Some things, of course, still cannot be changed because they're also karmic events or imprints are co-created that you've created for yourself to experience that experience the situation for a learning process. And that's, by the way, why I always say, of course, in the past shows, there are no victims. You are volunteering to learn from your own experiences and to heal from them. That's the whole point. Anyway, so there's a multitude. You read off the matrix of the person with both either a clairvoyance or clairaudient method. And, of course, I mentioned you can bubble up, and this can obscure or prevent readers. So when, like, somebody reads for me, I have invariably very hard for people to read for me. One is I have my own bubbling up. I bubble up myself, but I have had which I don't get into, but I had my guys, like, have this automatic, I have this bubble up going on. So when somebody reads from them, I want them to read, give me a reading. I have to focus and allow them to open. And usually it'll open like a crest, like so small. They're lucky to get through it. And in fact, to give you an example, I had an opportunity, somebody who I know wanted to give me a reading, but felt because they're too close to knowing me too well, they wanted to do this like group session, so to speak. And this is, by the way, what a lot of readers do is part, because it's part of practice. Everybody has the ability to read. It's like riding a bicycle or swimming. You know how to do it. Once you learn it, you do it. But you still have to practice to keep it up to do it, which I'll get into some idea ways of practicing for yourself. I definitely will do that. But they were trying to read me, and there's four of them. And it was, ironically, there was two of them that had a real hard time reading for me, and the other two didn't. And I told the person, you know, hey, you know, afterward I could tell. And she was sort of shocked, because I said, this one individual was totally, like, grabbing straws. I can tell another person who she looked up to as some, you know, their spiritual leader, and was not, it was so frustrating, it was so funny on the phone. He just, like, we can almost like, I give up. That was his, like, attitude, because I can't get anything. And it was partly because, for some reason, he wasn't allowed to, and there's reasons for that, and I don't know why. Sometimes, like I said, I just don't know. It could be multiple, like I said, reasons, and sometimes it's because of themselves or because my bubble is there that they can not allowed to, and there are different reasons. Yet there are two others, or three, and like I said, it's an element that I do allow them to do the reading, so people read. And most people don't have bubbles up, so that's why they tend to be very easy. They're just walking around with, like, no protection, and their guides, for some reason, maybe not protecting them, so they're, like, walking people reading, which goes two ways, by the way. If you don't have control of your own readings, you can tend to read other people and thinking that there are your circumstances. This happens when people are reading other people and they actually pull in their energy and associate that energy as them and don't understand that's not them, it's somebody else, like an addiction or anger or some weird feeling, and they'll pull that in themselves and identify thinking that's them, and in reality it's really not them, it's, and they're absorbing it like a sponge, and they don't know how to separate that. Which gets into another reason why some people utilize different methods of separation when they do readings, such as tarot cards and whatnot. That's a way to separate. But like I said, now to get back to readers. Now, the real readers, by the way, will never say, oh, I'm a psychic, you know. I mean, there's some will still say that, but I know I'm generalizing. But there's a point by it. Or I'm the one who's reading. Now, this is a fact. If somebody's saying, hey, I'm the one who's reading, I'm the true psychic, and it's my words, I am just... But a true psychic, somebody who's a true reader with integrity, they never will utilize the words I did or I am. What they'll utilize is, hey, man, I'm just the messenger here. I'm just giving them the information, and this is what it is, and... You know, it's not me. You know, they'll step back. They don't get their ego into it. And then if the person doesn't, you know, if you give the reader gives information to the person chooses not to listen to the information, they don't get all stereotyped over. He says, okay, that's your choice. That is a real intuitive. That's somebody who's having integrity, because they'll realize, you know what, if I tell you there's a wall there and you run into the wall, oh, well, when the minute I start saying, hey, man, you're going to run into the wall, and I get upset about the person running the wall and get angry like the other guy was doing, that's when the ego sets in, because now you're projecting your own things. And that happens, by the way, with readers, which I'm going to get to real quick, don't worry, about the process of readings of projection, which I'm going to talk. Real reading is not by projecting. It's by being very objective. I mean, it's also referring to guessing. If somebody is doing a real reading, they're not grasping things. They'll try to grasp things and guess things, and because they don't know where they're lost. Projection also occurs because they're not being objective, because maybe they know the person or they're trying to get the information. And then the projection also occurs. It's when somebody receives a reading, you know, there's information, right? Well, sometimes the information be so minuscule, they'll hear like three or four it's like hearing three or four words out of sentences and not knowing the whole full context, and then making up their own predetermined prejudicial view on that word that they or words or information they sort of put together. It's like you know, like lately you hear about Sodom Mayor who's being offered to be justice, right? And you heard people, oh, she's a racist. Well, they took out, what, three words that she said out of context, but if you listen to the whole context, she was referring to something totally different, which happens. I mean, it'd be like sort of the same thing. I'm just using it as a correlation. So it'd be sort of the same thing. When somebody does a reading, and it happens, everybody does it, including myself, and that's when you have to step back. And this happens, by the way, the duality, where someone receiving the information has to make the choice whether it's a projected reading or a reading. When the person starts making interpretation, like if I saw somebody, I see a white couch. Wow, I saw the person on a white couch. Well, that was that information in the past, present, future? Was it symbolic, or was the person just simply lying on a couch? Maybe the person was lying and thinking. Or maybe it was symbolic that the person needs to contemplate on future events. Or maybe the person was dead. Maybe the person was sleeping. Or maybe just simply had a couch. You see, that's what I mean. It's all a matter of interpretation of the read, and that's where it becomes projection. And this is the problem with a lot of readers out there, people who are reading, and they will throw out perceptions and perspectives, and that's where it gets into projecting, and that's where it becomes the fundamental problem when doing a correct reading. Because a good reading should be objective. It should take into account the objectivity without utilizing any perceived notions, which is sort of hard because we're all human souls with our own perspectives. But you pull yourself and disassociate, a reader should pull back and disassociate themselves from the information. And I mean disassociate, putting any emotional theme behind it. Because once you put your own emotional theme behind it, then you're creating not a true objective circumstance. You have to be sort of like Vulcan, if I use the Star Trek term, okay? Be Vulcan, okay? No emotion, totally cold, existential. Actually, that's the most idealistically perfect way of doing a reading, being disassociated, because then you are not putting any perspective in it. You're just giving out the information for what it is, a fruition. So when I get readings, I will read them, and I can have tendencies to read. Like I've had readers say, oh, this means this, and they'll say something out of that. No. But they write when they start doing that, they're giving their view or perspective of the reading, and right then and there, that reading is dead to me. That's like, cut, that information they just did is dead. And I filter that out. I take out the information they have, because they are perhaps giving information, but they're trying to perceive it, and that's when they start perceiving it, that's when I know that it's time to filter that crap part out, and then you take it. That's why I highly recommend that when people do readings or do get readings, they actually record them. Because then, you know, when you're sitting there in the moment listening to a reading, your ears are hearing all this information, and you tend to not remember it. And that's what was really cool. I mean, Janae, my past spiritual mom, before she passed away, she's always recording. That was the reason, was so that when you can re-listen to the information, you can decipher for your own self, from your own perspective, the information. And, of course, we all have choices. There might be information that we just, a lot of people can't face up to. Like when somebody tells you, hey, dude, you're fucking up. Get your shit together. A lot of people may not want to face up to the mirror and look at it. Maybe that's part of the process. That might be, you know, that's still your choice. Your choice is to also receive the information as well. So it's a dual process. Again, duality. Oops, like that doesn't exist. We're all right. Oh, Andy, oh my God, I'm using sarcasm. That must mean I'm angry. Anyway, so those are basically the fundamentals. It's energy equals information, which equals reading, which equals the question of how you approach it, how it's read, the perception of it, its energy. It's all out there. And everybody has the ability, by the way, to read. Again, we all are intuitive. We instinctively have it. We're actually, people are becoming more attuned as we're going through the ascension process, our third eye is opening. This is actually is a communication, also your intuitiveness connecting to to the universe that you're connecting in, the third eye to the other side, or I wouldn't really like to say the other side, it's the side of the receiving end, the Kabbalah, the receptor of information in the universe. That is the reading. That is the information. So when that sort of, as we're opening up, you're going to, people become naturally more intuitive of other people, but they got to realize they're still perceiving. And the same token, people also have to be bubbling up because, you know, there's not all good, people with good intentions that are still going to try to manipulate and do some negative things. So you always have to prepare for that because that's the reality. There are not, you know, for every, you know, light defines dark and dark defines light. That's just the way it is. And unfortunately, there are those who, you know, manipulate, just like they manipulate the people and saying, oh, I'm all psychic and stuff. Now, like I said before, there is the use of tarot codes and other ways to step back approach from someone's energy. This allows them to provide more objectivity. It's not really the cards they're reading. They're actually separating this. So someone who's reading a tarot, and they'll try to interpret, try to figure out their meaning. A good intuitive or a reader will back off. And as they're reading it, they're actually just, their mind moves, and that the cards allow them to separate from you as a person. Maybe they know you, they see you, or whatever. But it also allows them, because they don't want to get your, taking their energy. And it's common. I mean, if you do like one after another reading a person, like I said, you can take on some of their aspects, and not, you have to actually pull that aspect from your own demeanor. You're taking, when you're reading, you're actually receiving their energy, so you have to know how to separate yourself. So if you do it too much so quick, like it's real common, then you have to have separation. So most real professional readers who take in information without just using their clairvoyant power or clairvoyant abilities, excuse me, or clairaudience, they will separate time, you know, amount of time before they do another one. But if they consistently do one after another, they need a methodology to keep them separated. And that would be like tarot cards or whatever, you know, jungle beads or whatever, you know. There's always something physical that keeps them separated. And that's to keep, help them keep objective. And like I said, it's okay to read cards or any methods. But and some of them don't utilize, just don't even look at the person when they're doing it. It's just trying to be objective. So and also when the person's allowing their reading, they're opening up their bubble. And like I said, and they may even have like guides blocking it for some reason. If the bubble is still there and the person still can't read what's going on, there might be other reasons for that block. It might be because the person needs to walk through that experience. Like, you know, the person's about to be, I hate to say, they're going to experience a death in the family or even something really actually more worse, which I hate to say on the radio, then it's just a reflection of that. So like I said, the true nature of psychic readings is there is definitely a duality. It's a receiving on both ends and as well as a reflection. There's an energy there that's flowing all around the system within the universe, also within the vortex and the matrix of the person. And like I said, the tapping into it is either directly or indirectly. Directly is getting to the lines of the energy of the person. Indirectly would be going through another source, would be asking your guides. And you probably heard people sit back and go into their chairs and whatnot. But we, like I said, everybody uses their own methodologies to get into the reality of the psychic readings. And definitely there's an infinite capacity to utilize that. So that's what I wanted to get to. When I said psychics, good, bad, and ugly, there are definitely excellent, excellent readers out there who try with their utmost to, with all their heart and love, to help the for they're all helping. Sometimes, by the way, sometimes too much help can be sort of negative. You know, the person has to be allowed to walk through their own sometimes things. But if they're allowed to be told the information, obviously the universe is wanting them to allow to know the information is there. So they're definitely like very excellent readers out there. And of course, please be aware there are ones that are extremely vindictive, manipulative, and make it the whole scenario like a carnival. So all in all, there are great psychics. But then at the same time, there are truly manipulative carnival artists out there that call themselves psychic. And then they're, like I said, they are the ones who are giving the excellent ones, who are ones who are really good, bad names by utilizing their abilities for manipulation, making a sort of sour taste in the mouth, so to speak, to the ones that are quite excellent. So I just want to let everybody know. And by the way, those people who are utilizing abilities to manipulate, they'll have their own karma for them, some way, somehow. I don't want those people out there who are listening to be aware on the fundamentals as well as the two sides, because there's both, like I said, excellent readers, and there are ones who are extremely manipulative. And it's your choice to read and find out what the truth is. Know that there is a thing called projection, where somebody projects their own thoughts from guessing, and that's usually utilized, also can be utilized for manipulation. And there are ones who truly want to help, and just here's the information, there it is. And that's, they don't take it personal. When person, like I said, takes it personally, then you know they are either they are both projecting as well as placing their own ego, and a real good reading has no ego involvement. There's no alter ego. There's no ego, period. It is just a messenger of information. Here it is, now a book. A book does not just tell us how it is. Now, when you read it, the person reading the information, the receiving end, who's getting the reading, reflect his own or her perception upon the reading. And that is where it becomes the receiving end's choice to perceive and have their own objectivity toward it or perception of the matter of the reading. So I hope, in God's will, that I have allocated the information, what I tried to respond upon on this about psychics and psychic abilities. It's pretty, very, very simple. Nothing. I don't need to write 4,000 books and 4,000 things about it, because that's not what spirituality is about. It's about all of us growing and learning to develop ourselves and connecting to our universe, and of course healing, which is also encapsulated with our unconditional love path. Like they say, there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. And with due course, I want to thank you all for listening to my show. This, coming from where I'm at, sort of late morning. I want to thank you all, and I wish you all out there, have a great, great weekend. And God bless you all. And with that, Asia by Susan.